Oh, I thought you had the...
This is All like, About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, I see it pop around in different things. I need to get new business cards too. Welcome to All About Wine. This is April 3rd, 2025. Sorry we missed you last with some issues, and so we didn't get the show on last week. We're still having issues with our platform, but it's going to be decided, and we're going to get everything together and go back to the weekly with no glitches. Although we had a lot of glitches with Blog Talk Radio at the end there anyway, but we will try to get this going and get ourselves a good platform and so people can find us and know where we are. And that's another thing too, with any platform, are they going to, you know, can people tune in and listen to us live? Not that we get a whole bunch of live listeners, but
I gotta check Mike Riverside. I thought Riverside had is there a delay again? Yeah, we're live.
Nope. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there is a delay. There's a slight delay. Should we do the orange test?
Well, I'm a guest. I'm on the guest line here. So that's they might delay the guest.
Don't know. We'll see. I should probably try.
So we are actually, we're trying to find the new Blog Talk Radio with the features and all that. And nobody had the features of Blog Talk Radio, which we got real thrilled with and real happy, but they're gone. And so we have different ones we're looking at. We're on Restream tonight, and we may stay with them, or we've got others. But as soon as we get one and get locked in, we'll make an announcement to somebody somewhere somehow and get it out there so people know where we are and how they can find us. And how would we do that? How would we make an announcement like that? How would we?
It's got to be social media. Social media and the website.
Yeah, that has to be the two main things there. And get a hold of
we could do billboards.
Yeah,
TV ads.
That's it. Billboards, skywriting.
Yeah, skywriting.
Use our jet. You know.
Yeah, sure. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. We got to get it around the world, though. So, okay. So, enough of that. We are here tonight, though. Got some information, as always. We haven't been getting guests, and I want to apologize for that. Guests is something that we've done for quite some time, and we've been doing it for years, and we love doing guests. They are a lot of fun and interesting and all, but we haven't been able to do it. And I've got some lined up. I've got guests that are going to be on the show as soon as we find out how to do this, but we don't want to do a guests and have a problem, and that's our main concern. So we'd rather wait, and so we know that everything's going to be smooth when we get the guests in here. So when that happens, we will be getting guests back. But right now, you've got us, me, with information and just normal All About Wine show here. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is go to the glossary. And it seems to be a good way to let you know and educate you a little bit here. And we're ready for the letter D's. We're up to D. First one is DAC. This is Districtus Austria Controlitus. And it says see that. And so let me scroll down here to Districtus. Okay, there it is. Districtus Austrus Controlitus. This is the Austrian system of appellations established in the early 2000s and modeled after the French's appellation. To carry an appellation in this system, a wine must follow rules describing the area the grapes are grown in, the varieties used, the ripeness, the alcoholic strength, the vineyard yields, and the methods used in growing the grapes and making the wine. Method in growing the grapes. I guess what they mean by that is organic, biodynamic, one of those types. And then making the wine, are you organic in the lab, all that. Basically, wines are organic in there, but that's pretty strict control for Austrian wines. So that is DAC. Decanting is the next one. This is a technique that removes sediment from wine before drinking. After allowing the sediment to settle by standing the bottle upright for the day, the wine is poured slowly and carefully into another container, leaving the sediment in the original bottle. That's decanting. Actually, decanting is really necessary for some older wines because you get a lot of sediment that's going to build up in those. When you do decant, pour slowly, and a lot of times the term candling comes from setting a candle behind the neck of the bottle when you're pouring, or the neck of the bottle is used as a place to do it. Set a candle behind the neck of the bottle, and as you're pouring, look through the neck at the wine coming out, and when you start seeing sediment, stop the pour and let it settle down again. Then you can start the pour again if it once you have the sediment settled into the bottom. So this is an easy way to do it. I say candle, flashlight, anything would work, but actually candle's sort of cool, I think. So that is decanting. Degree days. A method of classifying the climate based on the number of days the temperature is with the range that vines can grow. In California, climates are rated from coolest, region 1, to the warmest, region 5. This classification can help winemakers determine where to plant which varieties. And so they have the different regions. I don't know the classifications or how they rate 1 to 5 on the actual degrees, what the degree is to, you know, this is region 1 from here to here, or region 2. I guess I can try to find this. That Mike, there's a, if you don't mind, if you're not too busy, on 3 days, try to find out in California what the region 1 to region 5, and it's Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 5. what the range is on those. While Mike's looking it up, let me go to this next one. This one, I'm going to have to get the pronunciation. They do have it here. And
is this specifically related to wine, or is it, or is a region something else? So I'm getting a bunch of different matches here.
Wine. I think climates are rated from. Well, it just says climates are rated from. So maybe, I don't know.
Climate, okay.
I didn't know that. I really didn't know California had this rating system on climates.
Yeah, well, take a look here. Climate zone.
Okay.
Okay, let me find something.
Okay, let me know. Delestage. This is a French term, and that's D-E-L-E-S-T-A-G-E, delestage. French term for racking and returning a wine back to the tank. Wine is pumped out of the fermenting tank and back over the cap to facilitate extraction of color and flavor. Oh, delestage. Okay, just racking. excuse me. What you do is you take wine and you pump it out of the bottom and you pump it right back in onto the top of it. And this stirs up the sediment, mixes up the colors. It really does make a wine a little bit, colorful, without doubt. But it's just a different way of racking the wine around and putting it back in tank. Delestage. Never, that's French, that's right. Delicate. This is used to describe light to medium weight wines with good flavors. A desirable quality in wines such as Pinot Noir or Riesling. So a medium weight wine with good flavors. It's not real heavy. You're not going to get a wine that fills the mouth. You're not going to get one that tastes like water on the other end of the spectrum. But you're going to get one that's got some flavors and that fills up the mouth and gives you something with good flavors that you can, that you look forward to. Okay. Demeter, I'm not sure how they pronounce it. I think it's Demeter, D-E-M-E-T-E-R. This is a non-profit organization that promotes and certifies biodynamic farming. And the certifications that they get are really pretty involved. Demeter has been around for a long time. They've certified biodynamic for quite a few years. And you can look at bottles and you can see the actual certification label on some bottles certified by Demeter. So that is the people in the company that does it. excuse me, Demeter certification for biodynamic. Here's another French term. Let's see how this is pronounced. What? Let's do this again. Demi-week. Oh, boy, that's Demi-week. Demi-mui. Oh, the D is not pronounced at the end there. That's what it is. D-E-M-I-M-U-I-D. Demi-mui. A French term for a 600-liter capacity oak barrels, typically used in the Rhone Valley. So these are the great big oak barrels that they use. You don't see those often. You've seen the big ones when you start big like that. It's usually stainless steel, but these are oak, so they And the bigger the barrel, it's not going to impart as much oak to it either. So the dimming we is going to be, it's going to impart oak, but not as much to it. A demi-sec. This is a, this designates a medium sweet wine. Though the term, which translates literally to half dry, is potentially confusing. Most often used for champagne or other sparkling wines, the term also appears on semi-sweet wines from the Loire Valley and other French regions. Demi-sec. Okay, demi-sec champagne has a dosage level that yields 32 to 50 gallons per liter of residual sugar. In champagne, the scale from driest to sweetest is brut nature, extra brut, brut, extra dry, or extra sec, SEC, dry, or sec, SEC, demi-sec, and doux. So those are the different levels of champagne dryness. And so let's see, do you want to go any further? And then well, next one's a demijohn or carboy, and we've already talked about carboy, so we will stop at demijohn, because the next one we have are a bunch of French terms that are not in Spanish, is one different one. So we'll start at, stop at demijohn and continue next week from there. So that's our glossary for this week. Found something that you might find interesting. This is, says, when reading a tech sheet, a technical sheet, wines below 1% sweetness are generally considered dry. Okay, sweet and dry. Sweet, you know what it tastes like. Dry is the opposite of sweet. So it's a very simple term. People say, well, how can a wine be dry? Well, it's dry meaning that it has no sweetness. And the drier it is, the less sweetness that it has, the less you can detect a sweetness. So sweet to dry is the range there. 1% sweetness is generally considered dry. Wines above 3% sweetness are considered off-dry or semi-sweet. Wines above 5% sweetness are noticeably sweet. Dessert wines start at around 7 to 9% sweetness. 1% sweetness is equal to 10. G per liter residual sugar. 1% sweetness equates to a little less than 2 carbs per 5 ounces, or 150 milliliters per serving. 1% sweetness equals about 6 calories per 5 ounce serving, or 150 milliliter serving. So just an idea there. If you 1% sweetness is usually considered dry, and you're looking at about 6 calories per serving. So when that jumps up to 3%, you can increase those calories as you're going up on your sweetness there. By the way, the average wine drinker can't detect sweetness levels below 1.5%. So you're below 1%, if it says 1% residual sugar, and then you can't detect any sweetness anyway. And that's why it's considered dry or no sweet. So there you go on those. I found this. I don't know when I was going through some papers. So, okay, let's let me pull up some stuff here. Hang on, let me do a little searching and see. Okay. Well, it's not here. Why isn't it here? Here. Well, I had okay. Well, I can't find it there. I don't know. Where is that? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I had this stuff out, and I was I was going through it before the show here, and I must have clicked on different ones here and lost it a little bit. I think I told you about this here. Look up and see if I did. No, this isn't what I told you about this. This California winemaker who is going to come out with a $400 bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, and he really believes it's going to sell. He said that people look for it and look for those type of things, the $400. He said it's not unusual for people to come out with high priced wine. He said this one is very limited quality or quantity, and so therefore he's going to come out with it. Another smaller outdoor patio was located at the front of the tasting room, and Cardinal is the guy's name. Introductory wine flight is $125, which includes a taste of Entrada, a Sauvignon Blanc named after the prelude to a piece of music, and the only other Cardinal, only other wine Cardinal produces. For $200, guests can taste current and 10-year library selections of the blend. For $400, now this is just a tasting here. For $400, they'll dive deeper into past vintages hand-selected by Carpenter. The more expensive experiences include food pairings, and all guests will leave with a savory Borsini-dusted cookie. So, I wonder how many tastings he does for $400. I mean, that I'm going to have to get a hold of him and see if he can be on the show. It doesn't have to be an hour, but it's going to have to be long enough so he can tell me if it really works. He's just a gimmick. I won't ask him if he's a gimmick. Keep that, but I will find out. Article here, again, on San Francisco Chronicle. If it pops up here. Okay. Here we go. The wine region. This is in the Sierra Nevada foothills. Really a pretty interesting wine region there. I've been through that before. I spent a couple of days in that region when I lived in California many years ago, and interesting wineries have popped up and all that. But since then, it's exploded actually. and some of them have folded. Not to try to rhyme there. And so the region is really a pretty good region. It's wine industry's current woes are starting to affect its slumbering sales, and the restrictive tariffs in the area are affecting it. The Sierra Foothills is not well right now. Some of the regions, the wineries in the region, are really starting to hurt, and they're putting them up for sale. 22 wineries are for sale in that region right now. 15 of them in the foothills and 9 in Amador County alone. And, you know, this is from one broker from a Ventro real estate in Sonoma County. And there's lots of others. You can get a good deal on wineries if you're so inclined. For example, 795 million Heritage, formerly known as Steve Knott, 3.5 million. For wineries, these are great prices. I mean, really, especially 3.5 million is small. Montevino, you may have seen that one or heard of that one. It's an older estate, and it has quite a bit going for them, pretty big tasting room, all that. That's a little bit higher, 17.5 million. But overall, these are some great prices for wineries here. But they're selling them for a reason. The area is really going through rough times right now. A lot of grapes are not being picked. And the Amador they're saying that they're looking where they can to try to find other grapes. It's one of the worst times that they've said they've seen. Someone says it's been 4 decades since it's bad. So it's a tough area, tough nut to crack up in that counties and stuff like that. So if you are so inclined, you have yourself an extra $4 or $5 million sitting around, you want to invest it, you can do it up there. You can have your own winery. Not that you're ever going to realize your money back, because there is an old saying in the business, you know how to make a small fortune in the wine business? You start with a large fortune. And that's the old the way it used to be. So that area is, I've been there. It's not high. Sorry, that's too bad that it's not being visited stuff in that area. Wipe that one out, because I told you I have some articles here mixed in about Tampa Bay Rays and the baseball team, and I need to, as I'm going through this, I am I just heard on the news before the show that the St. Petersburg Council has voted to repair the stadium during Hurricane Milton. The cloth roof, I don't know, I guess a canvas roof, to the Tropicana Field where the Rays play, was blown off completely, just literally blown off. And it's soaked inside and all that stuff. And it's been ongoing argument between the Rays and the Pinellas County and all that. Who's going to fix it and how it's going to be fixed. And they're looking at doing a new stadium and everything in a couple of years. So do they want to put the money into it? Well, the city council voted today to fix the roof. So you wonder the wisdom of it, considering simply because of the fact that in like 3 years they're going to be tearing it down. But they voted to fix it. I guess it's to try to motivate the Rays to stay in St. Petersburg. Is your sports moment on All About Wine? Well, I guess I can't find anything. I told you about a lot of them. Okay. Well, let me go back to something else here. And we'll look at this. Tariffs. It seems to be the big thing on a lot of businesses' mind. And the tariffs on the wine industry and spirits is pretty serious stuff. Although they're saying that it's not going to be as critical as they first imagined. Oh, this is a long article. I'm not going to go through all this. Says the tariffs could hit California growers hard. And Italy, most exposed to U.S. wine tariffs. Excuse me. And U.S. Tariff threat to European wine. It significantly, President did not mention additional tariffs on U.S. largest trading partners, Canada and Mexico, but he has said that he's going to put tariffs on other places. China's slap with a 34% tariff. Japan is facing tariffs of 24%. These are places where we ship wines to quite a bit. We don't get them in so much from them, but we ship to. And a lot of these countries are saying, if you're going to put a tariff on me for 24%, I'm going to put one on your stuff coming in, which is like closing the door. Also places like South Africa, where we get a lot of wines, 30% tariff. And Israel is 17%. So all of these are going to affect all of us. This article says the losers, most American farmers, U.S. agricultural products are usually tariffed by other nations in a trade war. Don't expect our trading partners to be sympathetic to a group that is mostly located in red states and mostly voted for Trump. Winners, U.S. wine grape growers. The many other players in the wine industry are panicking right now, but I'll bet they were some quiet celebrations in eastern Washington, this is a state, and the Central Valley of California. U.S. wines under $10 have been losing market shares for years. Raising the price of other wines by 10 or 20% will make them more competitive. And another loser they mention here is U.S. producers of kosher wines. A 17% tariff on products from Israel is as surprising as anything on the board, given that the Trump administration's strong support for Israel. But that's going to affect the kosher wines coming out of there. Losers. The U.S. producers of kosher wine is going to be winners, but not imported. Losers, New Zealand, Australia, Chile, and Argentina wine producers. These four countries compete with EU wines and on U.S. supermarket shelves, and each had some reason to believe they might be spared, but none were. New Zealand eliminated tariffs in the 80s and 90s, but nobody told the Trump administration, who claims they tariff U.S. products at 20%, and they put a 10% tariff on them going there. Trump praised Australia, but tariffed them anyway. Chile is one of the most open trading countries in the world, but still got 10% tariffs. Argentina President Javier Milei is a Trump supporter, who was the first foreign leader to visit him after he won the election, and it didn't matter. He got 10%. And a big loser, South African wine producers. They are slapped with a 30% tariff that will basically kill the South African market in the U.S. The U.S. is only South Africa's fourth biggest wine export market after the U.K. and other African countries combined, and then the Netherlands. Then the U.S. comes in fourth. But South African wineries hoping to sell U.S.-bound wines to other countries is going to face some tough competition. So countries are looking at selling to other countries and bypassing the United States. And so it may be an issue there with tariffs. And U.K. consumers, maybe. The U.K., which is open to wine from everywhere, can see greater selection and lower prices as a result. And the other winner is people who like beer than wine. So that's what's happening with the tariffs around the world. We are going to notice a difference. We are going to start seeing prices go up on all the wines, because they've all already said that once the wine, once the tariffs go into effect, they're going to raise the price of the wines that they're shipping to us. So we'll have a tariff coming in on us also. So I told you a couple weeks, stock up on all of your wines. They're going to get expensive. If you like domestic wines, U.S. wines, then you can probably get some good prices, because they're not going to be shipping them out of the country. They're going to keep them in the country. And I think that's basically what Trump wants to do anyway, is try to keep the wines and sales in the country, good or bad. Okay, let me see. The most wanted Merlots for 2025. The top few of these. Petrus, right at 97 out of 100, but it's cost $4,155. Vito Toscana is from Tuscany, Italy. It's $1,025. Lopin from Pomerol, France, $3,599. And here's one from Tuscany, Italy, 94 out of 100, $103. There you go. What is that, number four or five on the list? That's all we need, is ones like that. Next one is an Italian from Tuscany. Next two are Italian from Tuscany. But then Napa Valley, Duckhorn Vineyards Merlot, $56. So, list of some of the top Merlots on the market right now for 2025. And those prices on there probably are not reflective of any type of tariffs. So the ones that you get from the United States, you're going to trade tastings. Okay, so let me get out of this and go back to what I'm looking at. Boy, this computer is slow tonight. Wine Institute is trying to do what they can to regain access to Canada for American wineries and also to try to lower the trades. They've earned talks with the president and doing what they can to convince him that the wine industry is the industry that can really, really be hurt by the tariffs, not foreign wine industry, our wine industry. So they, the Wine Institute has been in active talks with the president and staff trying to see if he can't drop these tariffs. So this is a good thing if they can keep on. What else have I got here? And that's good. Okay. Ooh, this is not good. Juice sold from New York. I'll just tell you the headline on this, and that's enough. Juice sold from New York to wineries in 12 states. And California sells wine to just about every state in the nation. Or grapes, I'm sorry. Juice. Grape juice to about every state in the nation. New York also sells to a lot. But they are recalling wine from that they've sold from 12 states over a potentially deadly toxin in the wine. So I would be a little leery of New York wines here until we get the all clear from that. Okay. I'm not going to wipe that out because I saw some articles that were too long to tell you about, so I'll read and see what I can find out. Let's go down to this one here. Okay. Napa Valley Cabernet takes top prize at record-setting North Coast Wine Challenge. 223 wineries entered the competition, and a Napa Cab took number one. With or without alcohol, I will have a hard time thinking of wine without alcohol as anything but grape juice. But it's becoming very, very popular now. The hospitality industry launched their the hospitality industry vets Marco and Deju Morano has launched a new line, Prima Pave, P-R-I-M-A, Prima Pave, P-A-V-E, with a little accent mark over the E. It's a new line of de-alcoholized wines from northern Italian grapes. So they were disappointed that they didn't have anything good to drink when Deju, who is the female of the group of the two, didn't have any nice wines to drink when she was pregnant, and so therefore they decided that they'd start their own. And they have a rosé, a blanc de blanc, and, well, two rosés, a rosé dulce, which is pink, and rosé brut, and non-alcohol wines. I don't know if I told you. Here, let's go through this. This is, how do you remove alcohol from wine? Non-alcoholic or NA wines are different from de-alcoholized or DA wines, but the terms are usually interchangeable quite often. NA or non-alcoholic wines were never fully wines to begin with, hence grape juice. They are made from non-wine ingredients like juice, tea, or kombucha that are mixed together to form a wine alternative. They aren't trying to mimic specific wines, but give an approximation to wine. One popular brand, Blurred Vines, makes a sparkling NA called Spark that is a cold brew botanical blend of gyoza, black and green tea, juice from red currants and strawberries, and fermented apricot and white grape juice concentrates with botanical extracts of hibiscus, shushundri berry, and cayenne pepper and other elements. Oh my gosh. DA wines, or de-alkalized, are fermented and then have the alcohol removed. Some prefer the term alcohol removed to de-alkalized because it sounds like a gentler approach. Supporters argue that these wines still honor the tradition of winemaking and are closer to the original. So there's the two types, NA and DA. NA is not really wine. It's just a drink. And that's really what you got to call it. I don't see how they can call it a de-alcohol or a non-alcoholic wine because it's not. It's a drink. So that's how I feel. I'll stick with that. So those are the two different types. This article goes on. Here's a section here. I'll read you the first paragraph. And the question is, how do wise wines taste? One of the biggest challenges with DA wines is that the aromatic compounds can get lost in the process. Without the alcohol to make aromatics volatile and thus easier for our nose to pick up, aromas can seem flat. While ethanol doesn't have a noticeable flavor, it does contribute the feeling of weight and texture. The balance of acidity and tannins will feel different, as will the sweetness of the grapes. So it affects everything, basically, what they're saying. I mean, I don't know. I am not a fan. I don't particularly care to do it. I mentioned these points before about how I feel about that. And I know we've had guests on that say they're pretty good and I really should try them. But I just can't bring myself to do it. I guess maybe I should try them, though. It's been an ongoing. Yeah, and they're saying they're trying to pick up the quality. Okay, that almost every article, de-alkalized wines, says the same thing. They're trying to pick up the quality. They're trying to get it as good as regular wine tastes. And they can't. It is impossible for them to make it just like wine because they are removing the alcohol. And to me, that's as much a part of a glass of wine as is the aromas and taste and everything else in there. So, okay. Well, I'll quit editorializing. If anyone out there listens, have a particularly fond de-alcoholized wine that you think is very good and tastes a lot like regular wine, let me know. I will go out and buy one and I'll taste it and find out for myself. But I just can't seem to find the appeal, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Okay. Let's see. And let's see, Forbes magazine, how I see, Okay. Winemakers in Spain rule fret over U.S. tariffs. It seems to be the underlying theme for just everything that's going on. This tariffs and the, what's happening with them, which you can't blame them. That's makes sense to everybody. And let's see. And I look at another article here, and this one is, what's the deal with de-alcoholization? Wineries look for cost-effective solutions. It's a big movement. I don't know. I don't drink a whole lot. Okay, I mean, I enjoy wine, and I'll have a beer once in a great while, maybe one when I'm on the golf course, and but I'm not a, you know, a real big drinker. But when you start, well, okay. This article starts out, lowering a wine's alcohol content could be beneficial as interest in low ABV in non-alcoholic wine surges. And that's what's happening now. They are surging. Wine and alcohol have always been inseparable until now. As for the demand for low alcohol and alcohol-free beverages rises, wineries are rethinking the traditional winemaking process, and many are considering it such as de-alcoholizing to stay ahead of the trend. Before wineries jump on this alcohol-free bandwagon, they should understand what's involved and whether it's worth the cost. Okay. And this is the thing, too. This article, well, says there's always a tiny bit of alcohol left in the wine. Less than 0.5% of alcohol by volume. So if you're hoping for a completely alcohol-free sip, it's not there. And I always warn people, if someone has a drinking problem, someone happens to be an alcoholic and they've sworn off drinks, and they say, oh, look, this is an alcohol-free wine. No, it's not. It's got alcohol in there, and people who are subject to that really needs to be careful, because it's not alcohol-free. There's still alcohol there, and if someone is sensitive to alcohol in any way, it could be a bad thing. So these de-alcoholized wines are still contain alcohol of some sort. So keep that in mind whenever you're out there getting a de-alcoholized wine, that people who are drinking it need to understand that. And it goes on here too. To be labeled alcohol-free, wines must have absolutely no alcohol. And depending on the amount of alcohol removed, the process can alter the taste and mouthfeel of wine. Excuse me. That's what I was just saying. It's not the same. It's not wine. And yet they're saying the technology is constantly improving. You got companies like Bev Zero are selling de-alcoholizing equipment and services to take out the alcohol, and it's getting better, but it's, I don't know. They said that the market is expected to grow at an impressive 10.4% compound annual growth rate from 2024 to 2034. They expected $0.78 billion by 2030. Wow. That's just that it's going to be that popular. So I don't know. The alcoholized wine is not the same. People used to come into the winery and say, do you make non-alcoholic wine? And I'd say, down the street, it's going to buy Welch's grape juice. And that was your non-alcohol wine, because that's what it is. It's grape juice. You ferment it to get wine. All right, I'm done for the night of editorializing there. If you are a drinker of de-alcoholized wine and you find it to be very good and worth, then let me know. I'll go out and buy a bottle of it and I'll see what I might be missing. And I will approach it with an open mind. I'm not going to approach it with a closed mind. But I don't know. So there you go. And I'm done for the night. Oh, as a side note here, I'm going to be playing pickleball tomorrow, which is the first time I've ever played pickleball. It's so popular here in Florida. I don't know about the rest of the country, but it's so popular here in Florida. And so I am playing my first game of pickleball tomorrow. First match.
Wow.
So
interesting.
I think there so. Was, it may be my last, though. Who knows?
Yeah. Huh. I remember seeing last week, I think it was last week or week before last, there was a championship, pickleball championship. It was like on Fox or something. It was on a Saturday, I think, during. And I thought, is it really that popular? I never, all of a sudden, it's like, I think it was something. Must have been one of those COVID things that cropped up, it's like all of a sudden you hear about pickleball and it hadn't heard anything about it until recently, it's at least I haven't.
It took off.
Whoever
revamping
thought that
courts,
up.
Revamping courts and it's just, it's all over the place. It's amazing. And most of the ball is green, so I'm wondering if that's how they got the term pickleball, because most balls are green. But I've seen red and yellow and orange balls out there and white and all that, so I don't know. But
maybe something to that.
Playing my first game of pickleball tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Well,
there's pickleball court right next to the golf course, and they get out there and play, and this distinct sound of the pickleball hitting the paddles. Once you hear it, it becomes very ingrained in the sound. So, but yeah, okay. I don't know.
Good luck with that enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks. As long as it doesn't hurt me too much. I'm getting to be an old man to be out there playing pickleball. It's like tennis, only close up,
Yeah.
So it should be interesting.
Beyond my tennis years.
I will.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Now you're just going to show up.
A lot of old people play too, because
you're just going to start. I think we have a delay here.
Well, I never practiced.
Right. I didn't know if you, there's about probably 20 seconds here. I didn't know if you met some people who were interested in, already playing and they said, hey, stop by, or if you're just going to walk on set and, blindly join a game. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Well, what it is the guy I play golf with, his daughter's in town and she's an avid pickleballer, her and her husband. And so she told him, Dad, let's go play pickleball. Find a partner, we'll play pickleball. And the local rec center has pickleball courts, indoor and outdoor. And I'm thinking, indoor, AC? Wow. That might be a good pickleball game. But so we're going to be playing pickleball tomorrow against them. They are pickleballers.
Cool.
Pickleballers, is that the proper term? I don't know. It's It's all new to me.
I don't know. Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go play pickleball. And I said, we need to, before I told her I was playing pickleball, I said, we need to go shopping, you know, sometime this was Monday. I said, we need to go shopping sometime this week. And she goes, why? And I said, well, I need to get myself outfits and everything else, pickleball. And she says, I'll buy you a little skirt, but that's all. So.
Oh, gosh. That was pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah. Should be good weather. I think it's been getting warm here, so it's been something else. The heat's back. But I thought we had a slight cold front coming through. It's supposed to be like in the 70s either tomorrow or Saturday, or I know Saturday for sure. Wow. Mid-70s. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Okay. Well, it is right at 8 o'clock on this April the 3rd. That's our live show. And we'll go ahead and close it down until next Thursday, which will be April the 7th. I'm sorry, April the 10th.
Wow.
That's how the calendar works. April the 10th. Yeah. So thank you all for thank you all for tuning in, and have a great week and be safe. And we'll see y'all next time on All About Wine, whoever we're showing live on social media. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Wait till Ron catches up. Okay. All right. There he is.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
That's it.